You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Speaking of answered prayer, that's what I want to talk about tonight, is answered prayer, and give you some keys to getting your prayers answered. Real simple keys, just three things I'm going to write down. There's several you could go over, but I think these are basic. This is prayer 101, I guess you'd say, on three keys to answer prayer. Prayer is a real positive thing. And when I'm talking about tonight, I'm talking about petitionary prayer, prayers that you request something from the Lord, where you go to God asking for something. And so there's different types of prayer. There's prayers of consecration, where you're just consecrating yourself to the Lord. There's prayers of intercession, where you're interceding for someone else. Are you with me? There's prayers of worship, you know, where you just, man, you're just worshiping God and thanking God, prayers of thanksgiving. But this, tonight, I'm just talking about prayers of petition, when you're asking for something. You know, in the church world, you often hear, well, you know, sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait a while. You know, like, that's just the way it is with every prayer. No, and actually, that's not the way it is with every prayer. He says no when you ask something that he doesn't promise you. Are you with me? He says wait a while. Obviously, you know, when he's talking about spiritual growth, when you're growing, you're not going to go, you're going to skip all the steps through spiritual growth. You're believing to get more mature. That's going to be a process. Are you with me? He says yes when you ask according to his promise. But just to pick any prayer you pray, and he may say yes, and he may say no, and he may say wait a while. No, that's not on God's part. That's on the type of prayer you're praying, or whether you're actually praying something that God promises or not. God's promises are all yes and amen. That's what Scripture says. God didn't make a promise and say, I'm throwing this out there like a carrot on a stick. You may reach out there and grab it if you want to, but I just might jerk it back. I might not let you have it. No, if God puts it out there and promises it, then it's yours. All you have to do now is request or call or ask. So, in light of that, this Bible drill tonight, we may go over a few verses. Everybody ready? Okay. Matthew 7, turn there if you will. We'll just start there and see where we wind up. Excuse me for coughing. And, you know, goodness, you put up with the cough, or you put up the cough drop rolling around my mouth, so it's better than the cough, I guess. Matthew 7, notice this, Jesus speaking. Now think about this. This is not some preacher talking, this is Jesus speaking. This is not a Baptist or a Methodist or a Pentecostal or, you know, International Outreach Church doctrine. This is the Lord Jesus Christ saying in Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. He didn't say ask, and you might get it, you might not get it. And, you know, God may say yes, he may say no, he may say wait a while. He says ask, and it shall be given to you. He says seek, and you shall find. You never know. If you go out there and seek, you might find something. Even old blind hog turns up an acorn if he roots around long enough. Are you out there? No, he says seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open unto you. He doesn't say knock, and, you know, if God's home, he'll answer. If he's not, he won't. And he may be busy. He may be tied up. He might get to you. He may get to you later. No, he says knock, and it shall be open unto you. Y'all see that? See how positive that is. And that would shock a lot of people today. I mean, you know, preachers say that sometimes in churches, that if you pray, God will hear you and he will answer you. And some people get religious and say, well, how dare you tell someone that? You don't know what God's going to do. Well, I know what he said. Yeah. Are you with me? I assume he told me the truth. Jesus is the one that said, ask and you shall receive, seek you will find, knock the door will open you. That's not some preacher. That's Jesus saying that. So prayer to him was a very positive thing. It wasn't going to Las Vegas, pulling the lever and hoping it came up triple nickels. You know, he wasn't gambling. Jesus didn't think if you just shoot one up there, maybe something will happen. I mean, he was really positive, and he says, if you'll ask, you'll receive. If you'll seek, you'll find. If you'll knock, a door will be opened to you. The next verse says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and everyone that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, a door will be opened. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Now, obviously, this is a general way of talking, Jesus making a general promise. He obviously is talking about things that God has promised to us. He's not saying you can just ask for something that God blatantly tells you can't have. But if God, in his word, you find it in the word where he says, you know, this is yours, and you ask him according to his word, you can have his assurance that you will have what you ask for, according to the promise. So prayer being a positive thing, Jesus is saying in a general sense that we do receive what we ask for. Can y'all see that? We do receive what we ask for. And of course, there's conditions from other scriptures on prayer and on the matter of prayer. We can find out what those conditions are, or keys, what I've called keys, chosen to call keys. Turn to 1 John 5. Let's look at some of these simple conditions. They're not complicated. They're not deep. 1 John 5, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. 1 John, the 5th chapter and the 14th verse says, "This is the confidence that we have in him." Everybody say confidence. Oh, hallelujah. I love this. In fact, you know, he starts out really in that 13th verse. He says, "These things have I written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Isn't that what it says? How many of you believe on the name of the Son of God? You believe on Jesus. Okay. We're not hoping we have eternal life. He said, "These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." And then he goes on, he says, "And that you may believe," or continue to believe, "on that name." In other words, we've gotten saved by calling on Jesus. Now let's continue to call on that name and continue to believe on that name. Now that we have believed on him and been saved and we have eternal life, let's continue to believe on that name. 14th verse, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him." And y'all see that? So what he's saying here is that if we ask according to his will, we know he hears what we ask for, and we know we have what we ask for. And this is the confidence that we have in him. Wow. So we come into prayer as a very positive thing, with confidence, knowing that if we ask something that he promises, if we ask according to his will, then we know he hears us, and we know we have what we ask for. Isn't that what it says? We know we have the petitions that we desired of him. There it is, according to his will. God's will is a very simple matter. Don't think about it in a complicated way, because this is where people get all out of whack. A lot of religious people and good people go to good churches that love God. Well, you never can really know what the will of God is. Well, if that's the case, then this scripture makes no sense whatever. How could we ever know we have what we ask for if we could never know what the will is? Are you with me? And is the will of God really, come on now, is the will of God really all that complicated? You know, let me give you some scenarios, real simple. If someone sins against us, what should I do? Forgive? Right. Should I forgive them or should I not forgive them? Now, how can we be so sure that God wants us to forgive people? Because it says forgive, doesn't it? I mean, would you be in doubt at all if someone came to you and confessed their sins, "I've sinned against you, would you forgive me?" Would you be in doubt what God's will is concerning that matter? I don't think anybody would be in doubt about it. I think we'd all know that we should forgive them. We may not do it, but we know that we should do it. We know what the scripture says. If you're writing scriptures down or notes down, Mark 11:25 says, "When you stand praying, forgive." Forgive. If you have aught against any, in other words, someone sinned against you, you hold in bitterness, you can't do that. You've got to forgive. That your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So if nothing else, here's one thing we know for certain what the will of God is, don't we? No question. You don't have to wonder about it. I mean, someone sinned against you, they've come to you, they've asked forgiveness. You should forgive them. That is the will of God. Now, how do we know that is the will of God? Because that's what God says. See, that's just not deep. That's real simple. I know what God's will is because what God says in a given situation. In that situation, God's will is that I forgive because that's what he says to do. All right. What if I go to God, I've got sin, and I ask him to forgive me? What do you think he'll do? He'll forgive me? Now, how do we know it's his will to forgive me? I mean, how can we be so certain about that? Because that's what it says, right? 1 John 1:9, that'd be a good one. If I confess my sin, he's just and he's faithful to forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So there's two things right off the bat. I mean, it didn't take long at all to figure that out. I know exactly what God's will is concerning forgiving someone. I should do it. I know exactly what God's will is concerning forgiving me. If I confess my sin, he'll forgive me. I know that because that's what he says. So God's will, God's word are the same thing. There's not some mysterious will of God separate from what God has told us. What God has told us is his will. So if I want answered prayer, I need to ask according to the will of God. That's what 1 John 5:14 says. That's a key. First of all, right off the bat, if I want my prayers answered, this is the confidence that I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, I know he hears me. And if I know he hears me, I know I have the petitions that I desired of him. So number one key, if you want answered prayer, you want to make sure your prayers get answered, is whatever the matter is. We just talked about forgiveness. That's one matter. God has something to say about that. We know what his will is concerning forgiveness because we just quoted a couple verses on it, and there's a lot more. And I don't think any Christian would disagree with that you're supposed to forgive people and that God will forgive you if you ask forgiveness. I think every church, I don't care what kind of church you go to, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Catholic, they all agree on that. We don't disagree on that point. Forgiveness is for the asking, and it's for the giving. You should give forgiveness, and you should receive forgiveness, and it's not a mystery. I mean, suppose I come to God, and I say, God, I'm lost, and I repent of my sin, and I come to you, and I accept Jesus, and I call on the name of Jesus, and I ask that you save me. What do you think God would do? Well, he'd save me, wouldn't he? I mean, you don't think he'd say, well, you know what? I don't know, just something about you I don't like. I know I saved a lot of people, but in your case, I don't think I want to save you. Do you think he would do that? I mean, that's not what Scripture says. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So there's not a mystery there. God doesn't say sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes wait a while if we're talking about salvation, does he? Or if we're talking about forgiveness, does he? And how can we be so confident? How can we be so sure? Because that's what he says. I mean, it's just real simple. God says something, that's what he means. And so if I find what God says in his word about my situation, we've talked about two, salvation and forgiveness. Actually, two parts of forgiveness, forgiving others and being forgiven. So three things you could say. And you look in there and you can see plainly what God's will is. If you ask according to those scriptures, you're going to get an answer, and it's going to be yes every time. Not no sometimes, not wait a while. Hello. It's going to be yes every time. Even in just the way we live. What if I'm in a store, I see something on the shelf I'd like. Should I pay for it or should I just steal it? What do you think I ought to do? What would be the will of God there? Should I just take it off the shelf and run out the front door with it, or should I pay for it? Pay for it. Now, how do I know that? Let's see, there's this little commandment called, thou shalt not steal. Isn't that right? Now, I know God's will concerning that. So God's will all of a sudden is not that big a mystery when I know what he says, is it? The only mysterious will of God for me would be where I don't know what God says about my situation. But once I find out what it is, then that first key to answered prayer, finding the will of God, is already taken care of. I've got God's word on it, his promise. Well, I'll tell you what, God has a lot to say about a lot of things. He says, pray one for another that you may be healed. He says, lay hands on the sick and shall recover. He said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. He said, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Healing is the will of God. It's not, you don't go through the scripture and find where God says, you know, I might heal you and I might not. You know, you ought to pray for each other to be healed. Sometimes you ought to be praying for each other to be sick. Doesn't say that, does he? You know, you don't find sometimes, I am the Lord God that healeth thee, and sometimes he says, I am the Lord God that maketh thee sick. There's not that inconsistency there. You don't find Jesus going around putting cancer on people. Hello. blinding people and crippling people. You find him taking cancer off people, giving sight to the blind, and healing to the crippled. So healing is the will of God. We may not be convinced of that. And I know we've been taught to the contrary, I'm sure. And we struggle with those doubts and so on and so forth. But if we find that in God's word, we need to stand on that because that is his will. And if we ask according to his will, we know he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we know we have the petitions that we desire of him. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and everyone that seeketh, findeth, and everyone that knocketh, the door is open unto them. Wow, I think we need to retrain our brain. Are you with me? We need to renew our mind on these simple little truths. Because we'll jump on one side and say, well, I know exactly what God's will is for me concerning salvation, forgiveness, not stealing. And then we'll jump over here and say, well, I just don't know what God wants. And yet God says something about that too. The only way we know we're not supposed to steal, because he says not to, and the only way we know we're supposed to forgive and we can be forgiven because he says so, well, over here on the other side, how would we know whether he wants to heal us or not? Let's look in the word and find out. Let's find out if he promises that. Let's find out if there's a scripture we can stand on. Let's find out if people ever got it in the Bible and ever received it and ever called on God for it. Well, when you start finding all those scriptures and those examples, you can with confidence put all that over in the category over here of forgiveness and not stealing and loving each other. Are you with me? Because we got the scripture on it. Amen? Find the will of God. Find the word of God. Find the will of God. Another way, another key, I believe that'll help us getting our prayers answered. Turn to John 15:7. Turn there if you will. Let me finish this one point first. I love this. John 15:7. You know what it says. If you abide in me, John 15 verse 7, Jesus speaking. Again, Jesus speaking. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will. Hello. You'll ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Wow. Now, we just read over there where it says, if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us and we have it. But Jesus is saying here that you can ask what you will. But whoa, not before his word is in you. Because when you have word, God's word in you, it changes your will. Changes what you ask for, obviously. And if he abides in you and his word abides in you, then you can say it this way. If Jesus abides in me, and his word abides in me, then his will abides in me. Because if I know Jesus and I know his word, I know his will. Then I'll ask what I will. And it will be done for me. Isn't that right? Still the same point, that if we have the will of God on it, we can have confidence we're going to get this prayer answered. If you're going to have the will of God on it, you're going to have the word of God on it. You're going to have to know God and his character and his nature and his word. And that's why Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done. That's answered prayer. He didn't say, ask what you will, and it might be done. Ask what you will, and you never know, something may happen. Ask what you will, and sometimes he says yes, sometimes he'll say no, and sometimes he'll say, wait a while. No, he says, ask what you will, and it shall be done. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Okay, look at John, while we're in John. Look at the 14th chapter, John 14. 13th verse. Was helping you? But, you know, this stuff we ought to know. I mean, I'm sure we've heard this over and over and over, but it's still something we need to continue to remind ourselves of, lest we forget. John 14:13 says, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll do it. That the Father may be glorified in the Son, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is the second key to answered prayer. First, find it in the Word. That's the will. Find the will of God. If it's not God's will, you're not going to get it. Then realize this, that the authority you come to God with is the name of Jesus. In other words, Jesus has authorized you to use his name. And now you're praying in his name because of what he did 2,000 years ago, because of his death, burial, and his resurrection. You, in Jesus' name, can ask. You have the authority of Jesus' name to ask, and God will hear you, and he will do what you ask in Jesus' name. Obviously, according to his will. Right? You say, well, I don't know if he'll answer my prayer. Well, he'll answer your prayer if you ask in Jesus' name. Because you're the one he's given the authority to. It's like a power of attorney. When someone leaves, you know, or someone goes to another country and they have a business, they turn over the right of their name to be used by someone who they put in charge to continue that business. Or when someone is mentally ill, and they put them in a, you know, maybe a mental institution or whatever, or sometimes they'll sign over a power of attorney to their kids where they can continue to do business. Are you with me? Well, when Jesus left the earth, he left us his name to continue to operate and use. He said, all power or authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Go ye therefore, preach the gospel to every creature. And he goes on, you know, in Mark 16 chapter, he says, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, and drinking deadly things shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. So, second key to answer prayers, when you pray, find a will, and then pray in the name. John 14, 13 and 14, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. John 15, verse 16, if you're writing notes, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, ordained you, that you should go forth and bring fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Whatever you ask in Jesus' name, he'll give it to you. This is what Jesus said. He said it in John 14, 13, and 14. He said it in John 15, 16. Boy, I'll tell you what's good about this too. John 15, 16. It says, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name may give it you. God has chosen you to pray and get your prayers answered. It glorifies God when your prayers are answered. In fact, answered prayer is fruit that remains. It does not glorify God when you pray and nothing happens. God gets no glory out of unanswered prayer. Hey, you can pray to a rock and get unanswered prayer. Are you with me? You can pray to the wall and get unanswered prayer. You can pray to Buddha and Muhammad and Confucius and everybody else and get unanswered prayer. But see, the difference is this God, our God, is our Father, and he loves us, and he's real, and he hears us, and he answers us, and he's glorified when we get answered prayer. Hallelujah. And he's saying, ask in my name. And he says there, he will give it to you. John 16, 23, next chapter. John 16, 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Ask me nothing. That's interesting. You don't ask Jesus, you ask the Father. We talk to Jesus, we worship Jesus, but we ask the Father in Jesus' name when we're praying. We shouldn't end our prayers just amen. We ought to say in Jesus' name, amen. Amen? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I know I spoke at the Capitol. I was chaplain of the day. Been a few years back in Austin, Texas, and opened up their legislature that day, and they opened up in prayer. And, you know, I prayed a real simple prayer. God bless these legislators, you know, and give them favor and wisdom today, and give, lead and guide and direct them, so on and so forth, and prayed for their families. And when I got through, because there's always a big debate as to whether you should say much about Jesus in an open forum like that, you know, because there's all kinds of people that believe, there's people that don't believe, there's people of different faiths there, and so on and so forth. So I said, in the matchless, I slowed down, in the matchless name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Then I walked away. I'm not going to back off Jesus in public. Are you with me when people are listening? Because they need to hear the name of Jesus. I had no right to pray outside of the name of Jesus. I have no confidence I should never think or anticipate I'd get anything answered if I didn't use that name. The very fact that I was praying means that I should use that name. And so I always make a point in public if I'm doing a public prayer to say, and I even say here in the church, the matchless name. I don't just say Jesus. I say the matchless name of Jesus, because there is no one like him. Amen? And if you want confidence in prayer, then pray the will and pray in the name. Okay, John 16, 23. In that day you'll ask me nothing. He's talking about the resurrection. We're going to celebrate that in a couple of weeks. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Up till now, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Woo, hallelujah. Ask that you may receive. The whole point of praying is to get something. Jesus didn't say, just ask and, you know, it'll help you even if you don't get anything. It'll be good for you. No, he says, ask that you may receive. That's the whole point of praying, is so we get something, you know. And you want confidence in getting something, getting your prayers answered, then pray the word, his will, and pray the name, in the name. We've seen there in John 14, John 15, John 16. In my name. Did y'all see that? So that's the second key that we can see very plainly. Answered prayer comes from asking in the name of Jesus. It's by his authority that we are guaranteed an entrance to the throne of God, an audience with God, and a right to have our words heard and our petitions granted. We receive because of Jesus. You know, that really takes us, if you think about it, back to 1 John 5:13. It says, these things have I written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe or continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. Back up. How do I know I'm saved? Because I believe on Jesus. Isn't that right? I'm not saved because of what I did. I'm not saved because I'm that good. I'm not saved because I'm great. I'm saved because of what Jesus did. How do I know I'm getting my prayers answered? Because I'm praying in his name. I'm not getting my prayers answered because I'm that good. I'm not praying, get my prayers answered because I'm perfect and I'm that great a person. I'm getting my prayers answered because of what Jesus did. Just like I got saved because of what Jesus did, I'm getting my prayers answered because of what Jesus did. The only way I can get saved is to call on the name of the Lord, Jesus. The only way I can get my prayers answered is to call on the name of the Lord Jesus too. So, wow, man, I just don't know. I just don't know. I hope he gives it to me. I've been good. I mean, God's not Santa Claus. He ain't got a list checking it twice to see who's naughty or nice. Are you with me? Are you out there? I mean, he knows when we sin and we need to repent of sin. I'm not saying that. We ought to live holy. But I could never live holy enough to get my prayers answered. No more I could live holy enough to be saved. I'm saved because I called on Jesus. I'm getting my prayers answered because I called on Jesus. And I'm asking him according to his will. Now, lastly, third point. This helping you? Okay. Three, if I have time. Mark 11:24. If you're writing that down, you know this one. Mark 11:23, you know, it says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, believe those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. The 24th verse says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Did y'all catch that? Not believe after you get it, but when you pray, believe you receive it, and then you'll get it. Y'all out there? Well, I prayed about it, and I don't know. I'm just, one day I just believe I'll get it. No, wait, whoa. You ought to believe you received it when you pray. Believe God heard you. We have to understand this. We're in a broken, fallen world. We're in a sinful world. There are devils and demons, and there's a devil and demons and fallen angels. This world's not right. We're not in heaven. Have y'all figured that out yet? Okay. So whenever you try to live for God, there's going to be opposition. Have you got that straight? You figured that one out yet? Don't think it. If you're going to do something for God, it's just going to be wonderful, and no one's going to oppose you, and you're not going to have any struggles. No, there's going to be a lot of struggle, but if you fight, you'll win. You'll have opposition if you start a church. A godly thing like a church. Surely, if you start a church, you never have any trouble, because that's a godly thing. That's a good thing. Come on. Are you with me? Well, you'll have opposition because we're in a broken world. When you pray, you're going to have opposition. Not from God. God's not holding it back. God's not resisting you. God's not tempting you. God's not trying to get you to doubt. The devil is. And his cohorts and the world that we live in. It goes against the grain to trust God and believe God. So what you got to do is stand in faith. You found it in his word. You've prayed in his name. Now believe when you pray. 1, find it in the word. 2, pray in his name. And 3, believe when you pray. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them. And you shall have them. you shall have them. How many times did Jesus say, according to your faith, so be it unto you? As thou hast believed, so be it unto you. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Jesus would ask things like that. And they would say, yes, Lord. And he said, okay, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Woman, your faith has made you whole. Fear not, only believe. Jesus said these things constantly because our faith was paramount. It was necessary. We must believe when we pray. Notice Matthew 21:22 in closing. Well, can I give you one more verse after that? Matthew 21:22. Jesus speaking again. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. He didn't say all things that you ask in prayer doubting. He said all things that you ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. Matthew 21:22. Really the same thing he says in Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Here he says, in all things that you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, happy day, happy day. If I believe when I pray, I found it in the Word, I'm praying in His name, I'm believing when I'm praying, I'm going to get what I prayed for. Are you with me? Now, I'm talking about praying for you. I'm not talking about praying for somebody else where there's another will involved. We're not talking about consecration and worship and thanksgiving. We're talking about just asking for something that God promises. You can go in with great confidence and courage and faith. James 1st chapter, last one, absolute last one. James 1st chapter. Notice the 5th verse. Excuse me. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, you ever been there? Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, freely, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. He might just do something. No, it shall be given him. Wow. But, next verse, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Who? The man that wavers. That says, well, I don't believe. I just don't know. I just don't know if it's God. You won't receive anything from the Lord that way. If you want to receive from the Lord, you have to believe. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Y'all see that? In other words, this is powerful stuff. This is important stuff. This is a holy moment here. I'm going to pray about this. And when I make this commitment to pray, I'm going to walk away believing I'm going to get what I prayed for. I'm not wishy-washy about it. I'm not, beating around the bush here. I'm not just going to shoot it out there and see what happens. No, I'm going to pray. I'm going to come to God, and I'm going to get this thing in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to stand in faith till I see it happen. That's who God answers prayer for. People that believe what He says, that find it in His Word, pray in the name of Jesus, and then stand in faith that it's going to happen. Three keys to answer prayer. Find it in the Word, pray in the name, and believe when you pray.